I said before, it's wonderful to see you all here this morning, and I wish you a happy Christmas. I'm going to have a short devotion this morning, and just I want to guide your thoughts around the promise that was given to the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before Christ was born, before we celebrate this wonderful day. I read those verses earlier on from Isaiah chapter 9. And that will be the key text for us this morning. It's interesting, isn't it? Because God has always been a God who has cared for his people. And one way that he cared for his people was by raising up prophets. He rose up the prophet Isaiah. And these prophets generally would pronounce a warning. They'd give a warning that judgments were about to happen because of disobedience. And prophets were primarily raised up for God's covenant people. God made promises to the nation of Israel, starting way back of Abraham, ratifying it again with David, and then giving a new covenant promise through the prophet Jeremiah. And what God did by raising up prophets was try and draw people and draw the nation back to worship and faithfulness to their God. And where I read from this morning from Isaiah 9 is in the middle of one of those prophecies. And I'll just give you a small contextual background for that before we focus on those beautiful verses. And they are beautiful verses, aren't they? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You see, just prior to Isaiah 9, you have what? Isaiah 8. It's not a trick question. And Isaiah 8 helps provide some form of context for us all, right? And so what happens in Isaiah 8 verse 11, God speaks to Isaiah. This is the third time God speaks, and he gives Isaiah three commands. Do not walk in the way of the people. Do not be taken by conspiracies. It's the second command. And the third command was, do not fear what the people fear. So that was a special charge to Isaiah as he was about to give out this prophecy. They were the commands, and they're sort of negative commands, right? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But then he follows up with a positive statement. Honour the Lord of hosts. Honour the Lord Almighty. Honour the Lord of the heaven's armies. God is the divine warrior and the divine king, and the fear of God relates to understanding God and his holiness. Remember, Isaiah was the guy that saw the holiness of the Lord. You go back a few chapters to Isaiah 6, and he cries out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So instead of following the people, instead of being taken by conspiracies, instead of walking in the way of the people who are walking in disobedience, look at God, look at his holiness. Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 8 tell us that God will be his sanctuary, his place of security, his place of safety. You see, and that relates to all of us when, as followers of the Lord, we fear the Lord, and then we realize that the Lord is our dwelling place. As the psalmist says, he provides a sanctuary for us, a solid place of refuge. And for those who don't fear the Lord becomes a stumbling block, like a snare or like a trap. Verse 15 tells us that, and many shall stumble on it. that's the warning that God gives. And then he says to Isaiah, follow him, follow God, because the other ways bring darkness. And then Isaiah cries out in trust, I will wait for the Lord, I will confidently wait. I will hope in him, I will confidently trust. Isaiah expressed a full assurance that God would be with him. And not only that, that the promises that God was giving him, the prophecies that were being given to him would be fulfilled. You see, Isaiah determines to follow God and his plan in spite of the rebellious nature of the rest of the people in whom he lived with. That in itself is a lesson for us, right? It's a lesson for us if we think about that. And as you follow God, I would encourage you to follow him wholeheartedly. To allow his word to determine your plans. To develop in yourself a biblical mindset about all the issues of life. You'll see rebellion around about you. You'll see rebellion even in the church. But in spite of that, rest in God and follow him. Because he is a promise-keeping God. We also see at the end of chapter 8 that God's words are the only source of light, and darkness will fall on those who curse God. So the summary of chapter 8, before we get this wonderful promise of chapter 9, is that if people do not treat God as holy and fear him, then they will end up fearing men and their power. If people reject God and his word, then there is no other source of light. Life without God leads to destruction, painful distress, and to darkness. But the true light of God, as we looked at last Sunday, is who? Jesus, our Messiah. Who bears light out of darkness, who provides salvation to all who call on him. He is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. And that's what chapter 9 promises. Chapter 9 is the Lord introducing to David, to Isaiah, the future Davidic king. The one who will bring light. The one who will bring peace. The one who brings comfort forever to God's people. Start of chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we see light will come to those living in darkness. A new day of hope and light will eventually arrive. And folks, we live in that day of hope and light. You realize that? Because God has brought out his grace upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have hope and light to celebrate today. The birth of a baby who died for sin, who rose again and is now king. That's the essence of hope and understanding that and putting your faith and trust in that reality. We live in a new day of hope and light. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that God's grace is, we're in the day of grace and that we have an opportunity to place our faith in Christ. Secondly, in Isaiah 9, verses 3 to 5 talk about the fact that God will defeat the nation's oppressor. So there's particular it's a particular framework here for the nation of Judah, where he talks about he will shatter and break the oppression of the enemy. There's no prediction of when this will happen, but it will happen as God has promised it. And I can't help but think it will happen when Christ returns to set up his millennial kingdom on earth, where all nations will come to Jerusalem to worship him, to pay tribute to him, where the nation of Israel will receive the land that has been promised to them, where you and I as believers in Christ will rule and reign with him. By the way, at that time there will be no sickness. There will be a perfect reign of peace. So chapter 9, light will overcome darkness. God will defeat the nation's oppressor. And finally, we have these wonderful verses where a son will be born, a son will rule the Davidic kingdom. We have this wonderful little birth announcement, for unto us a child is born. I'm going to read this to you from the NET. So I think the NET does a wonderful job of translating these verses. Verses 6 and 7. For a child has been born to us. A son has been given to us. He shoulders responsibility and is called Wonderful Advisor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His dominion will be vast, and he will bring immeasurable prosperity. He will rule on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establishing it and strengthening it by promoting justice and fairness from this time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of heaven's armies will accomplish this. So we have this wonderful birth announcement that a son will reign forever as the righteous Davidic ruler. We see his birth, we see his role in government, we see the names that he has given, and we see that his reign will be a reign of peace. And we'll see that he will provide justice and an eternal rule from the throne of David. And all these promises, notice this, all these promises are framed by the very certain and strong assurance that the Lord is the one who does it. The Lord of hosts will accomplish these things. So I just want you to reflect on this today. I want you to reflect on the wonderful names that our precious Savior has given here. He'll be called Wonderful. He'll be called Counselor, or as the NET put it, which I quite like, he said, Advisor, Wonderful Advisor. Our precious Savior has worked through his Son, demonstrated extraordinary wisdom. And that's what we see even in this name. It's to be called Mighty God, which means a mighty warrior. A mighty God, a mighty warrior. I can't think about that without thinking about what Christ did by going to the cross. was there he defeated the enemy of death. There he defeated the enemy of sin. No greater warrior do we have than the one who has given all so that you and I, as sinners, can call out on his name and receive salvation. He is a mighty warrior, our mighty God. He is our everlasting Father. We read last week from John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is from eternity past, and he reigns for eternity. He is the everlasting Father, the everlasting God-man, Jesus of Nazareth. And he is the Prince of Peace. Because one day, folks, he's going to rule and reign. One day every country will fall at his feet. But you know what the marvelous thing is? Before that event, he can rule and reign in our hearts. As we place our faith in him, he can rule and reign in our hearts and grant us peace that passes all understanding. Do you get that sometimes? Sometimes when we get upset, we're involved in conflicts, we're involved in whatever it might be, that we take a step back and we realize that the Lord of the heavens and earth grants us peace that passes all understanding. We don't fear death because we have peace that God is faithful to his promises. We don't fear what goes on around about us because we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Source of Peace. And we see that one day that peace will be forevermore. And how do we know? How do we align to this message of hope that Isaiah gave to a desperate people at a desperate time? Because this prophecy was based on God's promise to his people. And the accomplishment of this was going to be done through the Lord himself. That's where our assurance comes from. This would have been an amazing revelation to Isaiah. Would have given him great hope, great encouragement that God is faithful to his promises. He did not see the fulfillment of this in his lifetime, but we have, as we look back to the birth of Christ. This prophecy was designed to give people peace. And it's just such an encouragement for the people of this day as it is for us today. That Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that all who call upon his name will be saved. And will have peace in their lives. The eternal turmoil will go. That's the message of Christmas. And I encourage you with that today. Stop and take some time through this day just to reflect on the event that took that occurred 2,000 years ago. That was predicted 2,700 years ago. It culminated in the King of the universe, coming to a lowly stable to put on humanity for the sake of you and I. Oh, what a wonderful Saviour. No wonder we can sing. We adore him. We worship him. I welcome the music team up as we will sing our last couple of carols together. Just remember, he is the Prince of Peace. I hope he's your Prince of Peace.